Our Lord and our God, we give thanks that we may come and worship you and look forward to that day when you return. In the meantime now, we ask you to strengthen and to help us in the mission that you have given to your people, to your church. Please, Lord, bless us today. My desire, Lord, is that we would all grow in our passion, in our ambition to see your word go out in all the world. To that end, Lord, would you bless us and help us? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's Pentecost Sunday. This is the day when the church has traditionally, and the church at large, I mean, has traditionally celebrated the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the church, as is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. And as we were planning and looking ahead a few months ago, we were bouncing around the idea of having a Sunday at which we could focus upon missions, when we could take this up. And I thought the idea itself was a good idea. It's interesting that as a people, as a culture, through all time, we have always taken opportunities to remember and to mark certain things. So last weekend, we as a nation remembered Memorial Day. We give thanks for the men and women who have given their lives in defense of and in service of this country. And we deem it a very appropriate thing to take the opportunity to do that. We should be grateful every day, and yet it is appropriate to stop and to give thanks. We will have other holidays through the year. We will have Thanksgiving. Now, we should be thankful people. We should be thankful people all the time, but it is appropriate to stop and to take opportunity to give thanks, to be thankful. And so it strikes me as a very good thing to stop, to take a Sunday and to look and to focus upon missions, that the church is a missionary entity, because our God is a missionary God. One of the most interesting things to look at as you go through the scripture is that God has been, from the very beginning, taking up people and giving to them his mission. So we could go all the way back to Noah, preaching to the people of his day, warning, giving message and sign. We could go to Abram, as he's called out of Ur, as he's given the marching orders to go to the land that the Lord his God will show him, that he will become a great nation, and that he will be a blessing to all the earth. God is going to bless the earth through Abram. And this man becomes a great nation. And this nation is called out of Egypt. And at the foot of Sinai is commissioned by God, is given a mission to be a national priesthood, a priesthood, a people, through whom the other nations around them come to know the Lord, and through whom the knowledge of God is disseminated to the nations. God has always been doing this, and he's always been calling people to do this. We are going to look a little bit today at one of these people that he gave a very specific mission to, Ezekiel, the prophet. This nation that God commissioned at Sinai would be led into the promised land. God would deliver them and set them into the land. And this nation would become a kingdom. And this kingdom would have its ups and downs, its rises and falls. It would have Saul and then David and then Solomon. And then the nation would split and become two nations, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And they would go on and on until in 722 BC, the northern kingdom is taken into exile. They are a disobedient nation. They are not honoring their God. And so God says, if you are not going to represent me, you are not going to be. I just made that up. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you are not going to represent me, you are not going to be. And then he looked at the southern kingdom and he said, take warning. This is going to happen to you if you do not represent me. But the southern kingdom did not take warning. They did not heed the lesson of the northern kingdom. And beginning in 605, they began to go into exile. 605 BC, the first wave of exiles is taken from the southern kingdom out to Babylon. They're removed. Among this reverse exodus, if you will, was the prophet Daniel. If you know in your Old Testament, Daniel and his three friends, they were taken in 605 over to exile. And then in 597, there was another group of exiles that was taken away. And among them was a young man who was being raised into the priesthood, a man by the name of Ezekiel. And he was taken, and he was set among the exiles over in Babylon, between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers there. They're set down as an exiled people. And it's there, as Ezekiel is sitting among the exiles, one day he has a vision. The vision that he has is recorded for us in chapter 1 of Ezekiel. It is a dizzying vision. You read it and you go through and you try to make sense of it. There are wheels within wheels and eyes on the wheels, and they're turning all different directions, but the thing is going the same way. It is mind-numbingly dizzying. It is a crazy vision. God is opening up and revealing his glory to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is imagine a kid trying to describe his first entrance into a candy store. And well, there was this here and there was this here. And you start hearing all of the different things that this kid is telling you and saying, no, it can't be. It doesn't make sense. And it's not until the kid takes you into the candy store and then you say, oh, okay, I see what he was saying. That makes sense. That's a bit like this vision in chapter 1. God is manifesting his glory, and it's overwhelming to Ezekiel. And so we pick up in chapter 1, verse 28. We have, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He describes all of this, and we pick up here now. Okay, he's just described this, and we get his reaction to it then. He says, and when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And he said to me, so when he sees God, when he sees the glory of God. Now, let's understand at this point, Ezekiel was what we would think of and what we would consider to be a righteous and God-fearing man. He was probably a priest. He was the paradigm of virtue, even among this people in exile. His reaction to seeing God was to lay himself prostrate on the ground. He was overwhelmed. He was humbled. Let us never assume, dear friends, that we will just waltz into the presence of God and be unaffected, as if God is going to be honored to see us. He hits the floor. And as he does so, God speaks to him. This is Ezekiel's commissioning for what will be his life's mission. And I want us to look at it. I want us to hear it. I want us to hear in the first 7 verses of chapter 2, his calling. That which he is called to. And then in verse 8 of chapter 2 through chapter 3, verse 3, we will see him equipped for this calling. So we'll have the calling, we'll have the equipping. And then in chapter 3, verse 4 through verse 11, we will see him empowered to carry out the calling for which he has been equipped. So he's laid out on the ground. And God speaks to him and says, "Son of man," striking words at this point. Now, those of us who are familiar with the New Testament may remember Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man. He's making a different designation there. That designation is drawn from the book of Daniel, and there's a reason for that there. As Ezekiel is using it here, the contrast is stark. You have this majestic, glorious, and holy God. His transcendence has struck Ezekiel as if he's dead on the ground. And as God speaks to him, God emphasizes his humanity, his humanness. Son of man, you are a child of man. Ezekiel will be referred to this way over 90 times in this book. This is God's favorite designation for Ezekiel. And I think the point is that through the book, there is this contrast between the man Ezekiel and the God he represents. So he says, "Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. So you hear this. God says, "Son of man, stand on your feet." And as he speaks these words, the Spirit of God goes out into him and lifts him up and sets him there. He gives him the power, even at this point, to carry out the command. "Son of man, stand on your feet." And there he is. He's lifted up and he's set. "Stand on your feet and I will speak to you." And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them." And let's just pause here for a moment and hear this. Ezekiel, I am sending you to the people of Israel. And I can imagine Ezekiel at this point saying, "I'm there. These are the people among whom I already live." But God says, no, you are going to go to them. And he describes them. God describes them in very charitable ways. I can imagine being told as a pastor, "You are going to go to this church. This church is full of stubborn, hard people. They're rebellious." Is that pastor getting excited about this? I want you to hear this, though. I want you to hear what God is saying to Ezekiel. "Ezekiel, these are the people to whom I am sending you." He is not being sent to an easy mission field. This is a hard field in more ways than one. So he says, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. Notice the problem now. These are a people who have rebelled against God. That is the fundamental problem of all humanity. I don't care where you go in the world. The fundamental problem of humanity is that humanity has rebelled against and has rejected God. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what language they speak. That is the fundamental human problem. They have rebelled against him. They and their fathers have transgressed. They've gone against the law, against him to this very day. They've continued in this. Their descendants are just as impudent and stubborn. These are the people to whom Ezekiel is being sent. So he says then, and you shall say to them, I send you to them in verse 4, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. If I could translate that just a little bit or flesh it out. You shall go to them and you shall say to them exactly what I say to you. Your words to them are going to be the words that I give to you. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel, this is your charge now. You're going to go and you are going to deliver to them my words. You are going to deliver to them my message. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, either way, Ezekiel's job is not to make them hear. His job is to speak the message, to proclaim, this is what God has said. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, either way, they are going to know that a prophet has been among them because you are speaking my words, and that is going to render your ministry successful. Whether they hear or refuse to hear. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. God knows the exact hearts of the people to whom he is sending Ezekiel. They will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. For they are a rebellious house, and you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. Do you hear what the Lord is instilling into Ezekiel? Understand, Ezekiel's ministry was very likely a very lonely ministry. Imagine that, being lonely among your people who are in exile from their land. It's going to be lonely because you know how they may respond to you, Ezekiel? They may speak bad about you. They may revile you. As you're going to sit down, they may stick scorpions on your seat. Makes the thumbtack look gentle. Either way, this is your job. Focus on this. This is the mission I'm giving you. This, Ezekiel, is what I am calling you to. You shall speak my words to them. That's his calling. And having that calling now, God is going to equip him. He's going to give him the equipment that he needs to carry out that calling. We go on into verse 8 and through chapter 3, verse 3. And that equipping is given here. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. So don't be rebellious like they are. In contrast to their rebellion, not listening, transgressing the law, this is what I want you to do. I want you to open your mouth and eat whatever I give you. To which Ezekiel says, what is this? Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me. Now remember, as we're at this point, as I look, we're still in the context of what was going on in chapter 1. That grand, glorious vision of the likeness of the glory of God here. And he's being overwhelmed by this. And there's the sea of blue. And there's the wheels and the fire and the glory of God. And he looks and there's this hand all of a sudden. The hand is stretched out to him, and behold, in the hand is a scroll of a book. A scroll of a book was in it, and he spread it out before me. He unrolls the scroll. And as he does so, what Ezekiel notices about it is this. It had writing on the front and the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. Evidently, he was able to see enough of this or read enough of this that he was able to get the substance of what was written on it. The fact that the scroll is full indicates that this is a complete message. But the content of it, as he's reading through this, he says, these words, this message, is a message of lamentation and mourning and woe. Ezekiel, this scroll I want you to eat. Huh? I mean, I think this paper would taste bad. let alone whatever leather or hides or whatever they were making these scrolls out of at this time. This is what I want you to eat. And he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then as I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. What's going on here is a classic thing with the prophets. You may remember when Jeremiah was commissioned and God came and he speaks to Jeremiah. And one of the things that he did as he spoke to Jeremiah was he touched his lips. And his point was to say and to communicate, Jeremiah, your lips are my lips. The things that come out of your mouth are my words. The mouth of the prophet is always associated with God. In Isaiah chapter 6, as Isaiah is worshiping in the temple and he has that grand vision of the holiness of God, and the cherubim are calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Ezekiel's response is, woe is me, I am unclean, I am a man of unclean lips. My lips are not worthy to speak and to proclaim the message of God. And what happens is the coal from the fire is taken and it touches his lips, the most sensitive part of the body. And his lips are purified so that he is now worthy to take the message. You may even remember, you can go all the way back to Moses, and Aaron is going to be his mouthpiece because he is going to be a mouthpiece for God. The mouth of the prophet is always associated with God. Here, it's symbolized and it's pictured with Ezekiel eating the scroll. Eat the scroll. Feed yourself on it. This is what's going to sustain you. This is what's going to fill you and nourish you. And though it is a message of mourning and lamentation and woe, as he eats the scroll, he finds that it's sweet. That the one who feeds himself on the word of God is sustained by the word and finds that even when the message is difficult, it is sweet. Here, Ezekiel is now equipped for the ministry. He's called and he's commissioned to go to the people and to speak the word of God to the people. And now he's given the word of God and he eats it. He's been equipped. He's got God's message now. He's consumed it. It has consumed him. It's coming out of his mouth. And then the empowerment. Now you're going to go, there's a lot of similarity in verses 4 through 11 to the first section that we looked at in 2, 1 to 7. But there's something else, there's a shift in focus here. Let's look at it together. And he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them, for you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to those... But to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. Another very encouraging message to Ezekiel. Yeah, you're going to go to these people. I'm not sending you to the foreign field where they're speaking all sorts of different languages. I'm sending you to your people that speak your language. And even though I'm sending you to them, they're not going to hear you. If I'd sent you to the foreign people, they would have listened to you. This gets played out in a very dramatic way in chapter 37. As Ezekiel is placed in the midst of a valley of dry bones. And he's told, prophesy to the bones. Before that, he's asked, can these bones live? Ezekiel gives the most brilliant answer in the Bible. Only you know, Lord. Prophecy to the bones. And he begins speaking to them. And the bones begin to come to life. Now, I've tried things like this before. It doesn't work. Apart from the miraculous intervention of God. Ezekiel is sent to these people. These his own people. They're not going to listen. They're not a people of foreign speech, of hard language. Surely if I sent you to them, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Notice that. They're not going to listen to you because they won't listen to me. And the words that you're speaking are my words. There's an important thing to remember there, that in the proclamation of the gospel, as you're sharing the word with people, the rejection of that is not a rejection of you. It is a rejection of God. So far as it is God's word that you are communicating to them. They will not listen to you, he says, because they will not listen to me. Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Or if I could paraphrase it this way, they're hard-headed and they're hard-hearted. Hard-headed, hard-hearted. Once again, that is the problem of all of us. Hard-headed, hard-hearted. For this reason, they won't listen. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. This is that empowerment now. We've heard again, these are the people you're going to. This is the condition they're in. And God says now, Ezekiel, yes, they are hard-headed. I've made you hard-headed. They're hard-hearted. They're stubborn. I'm going to make you stubborn, but in an entirely different way. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear in your ears. So, Ezekiel, you have to make sure this message penetrates you. Don't you be hard-headed. Don't you be hard-hearted to me. And this begins to summarize the whole of his commission. Go to the exiles. You to your people and speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. This is what you are to do. So Ezekiel's call is to go to these people. He is equipped, being fed the word of God. He is empowered. He is made like the people as he is needed to, as he needs to be made like them, to meet the challenges, to meet the needs. God does this for him. And he says, go. Go to these people. Now we have set this Mission Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. One of the striking things about Pentecost is the way that it launches the whole book of Acts. When the Spirit of God is poured out upon the church, the people of God, what do you see Peter get up and do? You see, this is one of those places where it's easy to allow the supernatural to overwhelm the obvious. I remember in the many times that I read Acts chapter 2 early in my Christian walk, the thing that always struck me was the speaking in tongues. That Peter was getting up and preaching. All these different people of all these different languages were hearing him in their own language. And I thought, this is amazing that God would do this, that he could do this. It was later that I was shown that this is the reversal of Babel. You remember Babel? As all the people are scattered and their languages are scattered, now you have God bringing the people together and bringing the languages together. That was easy to focus upon. And one of the things that I had started to miss was the preaching. The fact that what Peter was doing was preaching. And I began to see, and I began to think this through, and to see there are actually quite a few parallels to Ezekiel. God has called these disciples. God has equipped them. And now, at Pentecost, God is empowering them. And as these three streams come together, the church explodes onto the scene. And it explodes through the word of God going out. So Peter gets up and he preaches. And the people respond. And in chapter 3, you know what you have? Preaching. The word of God going out. And you know what you have? People responding. And you start reading through the book of Acts and you notice chapter after chapter after chapter, what's going on is the word of God is going out. 12 times you have this statement, the word of God or the word of the Lord continued to spread and to go out into all the nations. If you just watch and read through in chapter 2, in chapter 3, in chapter 4, in chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18, you know what is going on in all of these chapters? The word of God going out. Preaching and teaching of the word. God's people going out. Taking the message of God and speaking it. And through that, God saving people through the pure, unadulterated word of the Lord. And so as we sit here today, as we, the church, meditate upon this, I ask us, I put before us three simple questions. To whom are we called? We can think about it as individuals and as a local church. Just like Ezekiel, we're called to the people around us. We are called to take the message. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. It's often been pointed out that could just as easily be translated as you go throughout the world. This is an ongoing activity that is a part of daily life. Our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our schoolmates. These are the people to whom we are called. But as Christians and as a part of a church, we are called to the world, aren't we? We as a church are called to the world. This is why we stop and say missions matters. The missionaries that we list out on the back of the bulletin this week, we have all of them. In every subsequent week, we have a different one and we pray for them in the service because they are our missionaries. Andy and Jesse are our missionaries. We may not be able to go. That may not be our specific calling, but can we equip them? Can we empower them? Yes. Is that what we are called to do? Yes. That's what so many churches did in Acts. Notice when you get to the church at Antioch, they didn't all go out to the mission field. You know what they did? They saw that God had set apart Paul and Barnabas. And so they sent them and they equipped them. And they empower them. And other churches jump on board. Philippians is a thank you letter for the Philippian church supporting Paul. Empowering him and equipping him to do this ministry. So we as a church are called, yes, to the people around us. But we are called to the world. And it's our job. It's our burden. But it's a glorious burden. It's a willing burden to see the word of God go out to all the nations. Second, with what are we equipped? What have we been given? If I could say it very simply, dear friends, eat this book. Chew on it. Consume it. Allow your mouth to be associated with this book, that what comes out of it are the words and the oracles of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. His word being sent out. Our concern is that peoples would hear the message of the word of God. And let me tell you, that's not easy. I hope you will stay, come back during the Sunday school hour and hear a little bit about how Andy and Jesse are striving to do that up in British Columbia. And you will see that though many of these people speak English, these are not a people of the same language. Is that fair, Andy? Yeah. Same vocabulary, different dictionary. It's a lot of work that goes into making that message, that pure gospel, clear. And getting through the baggage. But that's the burden, to get this out. How are we empowered? Is not the same Spirit who lifted up and set Ezekiel on his feet the same Spirit who was poured out upon the church at Pentecost? Is he not the same Spirit who indwells all believers, even in this room? Have we not been empowered? What a glorious thing we have. Our Lord and our God has called us. He has equipped us. And he has empowered us to see the word of God go out, that we may speak his words and that we may see his words spoken all over the nations. He has given us his Spirit to empower us and strengthen us. I speak of this burden, this calling. But one of the most striking things about the book of Acts is that the burden was a joyous burden. They were compelled, but they loved it. It is the joy of the church, and it is the joy of Christians to see this go out. And I trust that as the Spirit who lifted Ezekiel and who filled the church at Pentecost is too in you, you also will see this as a joyous privilege that God's word would be heard among the nations. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we give thanks. We give thanks for your word that you have spoken to us and that you have given us your Spirit to strengthen us and empower us. Some of us need hard heads, Lord. Some of us need compassion and tenderness. We know and we trust ourselves to you that as you equipped Ezekiel, you will equip us. Some of us are called to go. Some of us are called to equip. Some of us are called to empower, to enable those who go. However you've called us, Lord, focus us on that. Help us to stay true and so honor you. Bless us as a church. Our desire is to see this word go out, to not lose focus. Please bless us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.